Welcome to podtech.net. We're here at CES with Rob Shanduk with Qualcomm, Vice President of Engineering and Market Development. Welcome to the podcast.
Oh, thanks. Good to be here.
So you guys have a lot of announcements around your technology. Talk about what you're announcing and then what does it mean for the world out there?
Yeah, what we've announced most recently at CES, which is pretty exciting for us, is that both LG Electronics and Samsung have announced handsets that will have the flow technology, which enables the delivery of really high-quality multimedia to phones, have that technology built into them and available to operators. We had previously announced just a little bit ago with Verizon that Verizon would be adopting the MIDI-Flow distribution network for its customers in the United States, and we're planning on launching that in the end, the fourth quarter of this year, actually. It's fun to say this year now.
Rob, you're leading the engineering effort. Talk about MIDI-Flow system that you guys built. I mean, this is a huge revolution. Obviously, we're in the podcasting business, and obviously video and multimedia is huge on the desktop, on the internet. With wireless devices, it's always been an issue on bandwidth and just overall capacity. I mean, the carriers have it issue, but users want more. Talk about what this is doing from a technical perspective, and then kind of the benefit to the users.
Right. I mean, I think one way to think about it is that the evolution of multimedia kind of services on the wireless devices sort of followed almost the opposite path of the traditional media, in that we started out by saying, you know what, we need it highly personalized, I want my own copies of everything, and I'm going to deliver that over a point-to-point network to my mobile device. And I could do that right now. 2.5 years ago in Korea, I could connect to a streaming server and watch a transcoded version of KBS1, which is the one channel in South Korea. And that's really exciting, but it doesn't scale to the point where you get something like American Idol or the Super Bowl or the Olympics. So what do you do when that happens? Well, so on the wireless side, we're actually pulling back towards what is a broadcast-like or what we call multicast network, so that as you get that very popular content, you can deliver to millions and millions of devices very easily without flooding the network capacity.
And that's a big, obviously, cost from a carrier's perspective. Yeah, making a phone call would, like, tie up a tower and then make a connection. But with multimedia, the size of the transmissions are huge.
Right.
How does that multicasting thing evolve? And talk about the scaling point in particular.
Right. I mean, the fact is, the real difference is that instead of sending a point-to-point copy, so if 10 people want to watch a video right now on a cellular network, we send 10 copies of it, one to each version. If we're using a multicast network like Flow, we send one copy and all 10 devices receive it at the same time, just like broadcast television. So like I said, we're kind of moving almost backwards in time. But the great thing is we got to take advantage of everything we've learned in the meantime. So it's a digital system. It's very flexible. So I can allocate a portion of the capacity to doing this kind of video service, a portion of the capacity to audio, a portion of the capacity to delivering what we call clipcasting services, which is like podcasting, is pushing either video files or audio files to a phone in sort of a channel-like fashion, sort of like having a podcast subscription. And all those things can happen simultaneously and be changing during the day. So during the day, I might have 20 channels of live video, and at night, I might have 5 channels of live video and push a lot of this clipcast out. So we were able to take advantage of having a digital system and make it more flexible so that the service mix can be done and creativity can apply there.
Yeah, a lot of people at CES are talking about, obviously, entertainment and media, and then also content seems to be really big here this year, personalized content, because of the ability of on-demand. What does it mean for content providers out there, podcasters, video producers? Is there anything that they need to do working with you guys and your technology? Are the devices enabled with the technology? How is that all playing out, or is it completely seamless?
Well, I don't know that it's completely seamless. We did work very hard to make sure that the interface was up to, I guess we'd say, industry standards. So when we want to go get a video, live video feed, we don't want to make them jump through hoops. So we basically take the same kind of head-end feed that you would take if you were a cable operator. So to a broadcast channel, we look like a cable head-end. We take in a C-band satellite feed and we do all the work from there. To an internet service or a file server, we either take files or we take IP packet data. So it's sort of it's like a little bit of a two-headed monster there.
Well, it's great innovation on the technical side. Let's talk about the market side. You do market development. Obviously, you work with the leading device manufacturers, Samsung. Your announcement with LG, you're demonstrating here at CES the Flow technology. What do you see them saying in terms of about the users and how they're using these devices? I mean, obviously, everyone wants video and audio. And with the video iPod, I mean, it's the rage. It's the cultural shift. Where do you see them going with this on the market side, on the user side?
Well, I think you're going to see better and better form factors. I mean, one of the devices I'm holding in my hand here that LG is using has a really nice physical characteristic of that you can flip the screen to actually, so it's in the right orientation for watching video, and yet it's still, by the way, first and foremost a phone. I think the kind of industrial designs that are really optimized for watching video are going to evolve, and I think they're going to be pretty exciting. I think we're lucky enough to be at the point in the product development where we can leverage a lot of what's already done. In Korea, for example, they've had TV services using SDMB and TDMB, and they can take some of those designs and apply them to the services in the United States. So it's pretty exciting.
So you guys are really kind of lockstep with on your innovation with on the back end, on the transmission side with the displays, and what these guys are doing on the device side.
Absolutely, and we expect the display technology to get better. I mean, we worry about things like battery life and performance, and when you're playing video, one of the biggest consumers of power, in fact, the biggest consumer of power on the phone, is actually the LCD display and the backlight. So some companies, including Qualcomm, are working on solutions to that problem.
That's great stuff. I do a lot of podcasts with venture capitals, and I always ask them the question, you know, where are we going to be in 5 years? And one of the VCs said, just go to Asia, and you'll know what's going to happen in the U.S. 5 years from now. Internationally, they've always been leading on the mobility side. Mm-hmm. Where are they going? What's next for them?
I don't know. It's really hard to say. It's not just whether or not it's leading. I would say it's doing things slightly differently. I mean, a lot of those countries, the primary access to the internet, for example, is now through your mobile phone rather than through your PC. So some very sophisticated applications, location-based services, and so forth. And I think you're going to see them coming over the United States. Over in Asia, I mean, I think what people are going to start to be working for is more and more convergence. I mean, people asked us a lot when we were starting this project, is this a standalone television that you'll carry around? And we really feel like, no, you really want one device to carry around, and how do we make that work most efficiently? So, I don't know. I don't have a crystal ball right now. Maybe I've had my head down too long working on this technology.
Yeah, but what you said, it's multifunctional. It's not one device. It's not a silo device. It's not a TV. It's a phone.
Right.
Entertainment center now.
Right.
In the U.S., though, it's always been a phone. I mean, people just have phones.
Right. And I think that's actually going to start changing. And one of the ways we hope that that's going to change, we really set the quality barrier, quite high barrier level expectation. One of the things we want to change is, when I talk to you about mobile video, I don't want to have the discussion about how many frames per second it is and what quality is. I want you to talk about, well, you know, where'd you get that? Did you subscribe to this package? How much did it cost? Did you see that show last night? Because nobody says, hey, did you see what was on ABC last night? You know, it was really funny, but the encoding wasn't so good. You know, nobody says that.
No,
I don't even know any geeks who comment on the encoding quality of broadcast television. So I want to get to that same point with the mobile television. I want to get the discussion to be around, is it interesting what Fox did with Mobisodes and 24 and how it relates to the show and how they're going to do integrated content offerings. And that's really what the concentration should be about. So even though I'm a technologist at heart, what I want to do is make my technology invisible.
Yeah, make it completely invisible. It's like, I like that show. I watched it on the subway on the way to work or something
right.
like that. That's great stuff. Where do you see media flow going in the next couple of years from your standpoint, next level of innovation? Obviously, this is a huge innovation, lockstep with the device, screen displays, and form factors. Where's it going to go?
Well, I think what we're going to concentrate on right now is really the base foundation of the service, which is really high-quality video, really high-quality audio, and I think that's going to be the main focus for the next year. But the system itself is architected to actually allow for some fairly sophisticated interactions between video, audio, and data services, so that you could have, for example, a very vertical application. Let's see, since we're in Vegas, I'll talk about it. You could have had a show where you were watching a poker tournament and could make bets or do predictive or do something interactive using the cellular network for interactivity, or systems like that can multicast packet data and use that information in interesting ways. One of the reasons we made sure that it wasn't just a video delivery system is we knew that people were going to come up with interesting applications that scale really broadly. So applications where lots of people want the same information and more intelligent clients to process that sort of information that's beamed to everyone is, I think, where the direction is going to go. And it's hard for me to predict, but we see companies that are actually going to concentrate on multicast applications, and I think that's going to be an interesting space.
Yeah, people won't have a distinction, but they won't call it a cell phone anymore. It's basically everything phone. It's a device, right? Mobility.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, we're here at Qualcomm CES booth. Rob Shenduk, thank you very much for the podcast.
It was a pleasure.